Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another at-home episode of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And this is Mark Vila, and today we're talking about making big decisions, working backwards from success.
Yeah, so this is kind of a big deal because I was thinking about after making maybe not the best decision. I was thinking about the idea of how we make the big decisions and what the right way is, and by big decisions, it can mean a lot of different things, whether it's new equipment and we'll, or, you know, new processes, we'll talk about those. But the idea is not to just make a decision based on what you're excited about or you think is going to be entertaining, but to start with what does success look like in this endeavor or this change that you're making, and then figuring out what it looks like to get there, not just what's going to happen next, which is the fun part, but to look down the road and see, okay, what has to happen if I think this is going to do X, Y, Z? What do I have to do to get to X? What do I have to do to get to Y? What do I have to do to get to Z? And that if you follow the kind of guidelines that Mark and I are going to talk about over the next little bit, then you'll have a much higher success rate in making big moves or big changes in your business than you would otherwise.
Yes. The easy thing to do is actually sometimes to get on board and excited with the decision and then make it. And the reason I say this is mostly true is why we feel pressure from the car salesperson or the timeshare salesperson, right?
Right.
You're on vacation and they give you a breakfast and some tickets to a show. And they steal you for 3 hours and they want you to make a 30-year, $30,000, whatever the number is, decision immediately through making you feel good. Look, you're going to be on this vacation every year. And I think that that's something that we a trap that we easily fall for just as people.
Yeah.
And that can happen when it's your decision, a decision making for your business. Like, for example, you talk to somebody, they have a successful online store and you've got a storefront that you are loved when you were first doing it, but now you really want to be in the internet business or whatever it might be. You know, you hear a great story about it and now you're excited about it. So you go ahead and you commit to a 3-year contract on some sort of web service project. And now you're just there. You know, and it's hard to undo some decisions.
Yeah. So let's take a look at what the steps that we kind of outlined here and figure out what the best ways are to separate your emotional response or your excitement from good decision-making.
Okay. On number one, This is one of the more favorite things that you've written that I just like the way that you wrote this here, where you just said, look at the opportunity objectively and from several perspectives. Yeah. When I read these notes and I saw that, it just hit me really hard on that because that's one of the things that I personally try to do a lot with little decisions that I'm doing in my life is just to say like, all right, well, what would my future self think about this?
That's a great one.
What would my dad have said about this? You know, what's my best friend who owns a successful business? What would he think about it?
Yeah.
And if you slow things down and also you have to be humble to do that, which is hard too. And that's another reason why I really like it is because this is something that requires a degree of humility to say that my initial decision might not have been right, or my initial reaction or feeling. Whatever it might not have been
the plan isn't working. You know, it's funny because I used to watch this show called Profit First or The Profit.
The Profit. Yeah.
Marcus Lemonis, right? And he's this business fixer guy, and he would always go to these different businesses and could immediately after conversations to figure out what they're doing wrong, mm-hmm. you know, and where improvements need to be made. So whenever I'm looking at a decision of whether to get into or buy into another business or launch a new product or something like that, I think about it the same way. Mm-hmm. Like if I was objectively, if I'm a business consultant looking at this opportunity, like what would I examine? And the whole idea is so you're not doing something just because you're excited about it, right? Yeah. Because I'll say like, you know, Mark Vila does some fantastic demonstrations of digital heat FX equipment, right? I've and if you've ever seen the Spangle Elite demoed, it's very sexy. It looks like a lot of fun. It's very profitable.
It's very fun. Like, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to get excited.
Yeah.
You know, but don't make a decision on it just because you're excited. You know, if you've got to look and see objectively if it's a good opportunity or not.
Yeah. And because I would say that we, as a company called SE, we sell equipment, right? And that's part of why this podcast is alive, right?
Yeah.
Is from people purchasing equipment, investing in equipment. But we are more successful as a company when we have companies come in and buy equipment for good reasons under good decisions, and then they're successful and they come back and buy more equipment or more supplies or other services that we offer because they like the business. So that's better for us. Than which is why you know, we're different than say that like car dealership where it's like as long they just got to get that car out of the lot and pass the 3-day return policy, but part of our business is long term, and that's the folks listening out there, your business is like that too.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's closer to hours.
That's a good point. So you know, when you look at this opportunity objectively, you know, you're looking for, like what Mark said, you know, what would my dad say about it? What would my business friend say about it? What would this professional consultant say about it if he was going to look at it? And those will help you kind of join the excitement with some practicality. But also you want to put yourself in your customer's shoes and look at what they would think about it. And I think that's something that we miss quite a bit. You know, if you're in a brick and mortar store and you're making the decision to close that up and go to online only because you see a big opportunity, you saw a sexy software demo, you really think there's a good chance for you to grow, you know, but you want to take those existing customers with you. What do your customers think? Maybe they're only your customers because they can go to the shop.
Yeah.
You know, so how are... Or vice versa, you know, you're online and you think you're going to generate more income going to a brick and mortar. These are just examples. You know, none of those online customers are going to come to your store. They're buying from you online. Because, so what is that going to look like? Do they think that you're moving away from what they love that you do? Mm-hmm. So if you're an artist that produces something, but you want to add a new off-the-shelf product, you know, are your customers going to look at you like you're selling out? You're really not who I thought you were.
Yeah, and then what's great about this is it starts off as a mental exercise, because what you will find out is, and I thought about it when you'd mentioned the online and brick and mortar store combination, right? So you decide you're going to open up a brick and mortar store, but you have an online store, and you say, well, you know, how are my online customers going to deal with the fact that my business is changing? You know, so you would just say, well, that's easy. I will make sure that I deliver my products from the online store exactly the same as I had before. So I'm not going to change my ship times and my production. I want to make sure I still ship the same day and all these things. So as I'm building out my brick and mortar store, I'm keeping the legacy of my online store still going.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe this becomes part of the story.
And that's good. Part of the story, it also goes down to when we talk about planning your implementation, but doing those things is almost secondary to communicating that idea to your customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because remember, we're looking at how are your customers going to view the situation? You know, how would, if you have investors, how are your investors going to look at this decision that you're making? you know, to get a $60,000 UV printer? You know, how are they going to look at it? So the whole idea behind looking at it objectively and from several different perspectives is to pick the important people or sections of people that are related to your business and look at each one of them and say, okay, I think these people are going to react this way. I think these people will think it's going to be good for my business. Oh, these guys are going to think that I'm abandoning them and I might lose that business. Is it worth it?
Yeah. And this helps, I think this helps you to reset, possibly reset your opinion completely.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You decide you were going to do one, you decide you were going to open up an online store, and then you look at this and you say, no, a local community store is better for me. Right. So it could completely reset it. Or it could just help you, realize your implementation needs to go a certain way. So there's a few different things that this beginning exercise done is when you look at it objectively is you start getting a bunch of different, good idea, bad idea vibes. And also realizing things that you need to be careful on, you know, what are some areas you might need to walk on eggshells on when you're dealing with it and how are you going to handle that? And, you know, we've dealt with that. Coleman and Company has had, acquisitions with like, or mergers per se, like with, EMB Supply Store, you know, some mm-hmm. years ago. Yep. And well, how are we going to make sure the EMB Supply customers are just as happy as they were before?
Yeah,
you know, so we start looking at things. Okay, well, and for us, it was a thing over time. You know, first thing that we did was we took that EMB Supply Store and we revamped it and remade it to be a lot like slowly like Coleman and Company over time.
Yep.
So over time, slowly we were introducing new things to the customers over there, and they were happy with it. And we surveyed them, and they were happy with the changes. And then when we switched over, it was a softer switch. So yeah. These are things that you can think about.
Yeah, I like that. So after you've done this kind of look at things objectively, the next step is going to not just develop goals, but make sure that you have goals and that they are written goals.
That they exist.
Yeah, I know you've probably heard this a lot.
Yeah.
So it's not just, you know, the idea that, so right now yard signs are very hot. The like mm-hmm. coroplast plastic cardboard signs that you stick in the yard, whether it's for mm-hmm. graduations or for elections or whatever, very hot. And probably the best way to print those things is with a UV printer. So let's say that you just finished buying 15 of these signs yourself for graduates in your family for yard signs. You know, you're looking at these things and, I paid this much for them. I know at Cold Essie, they've got an ROI that says it only costs this much to make. That's a killer opportunity. I can sell thousands of these things. No problem.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Great. You're probably right. But what does that look like?
Yeah.
What do you mean by thousands?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. And it's, I always try to think of goals as goals seem to be I'm trying to put it in the right frame of mind. It's hard to put down an idea of what you want your goal to be because you don't know what's going to happen, especially when an idea is fresh. I think that's right. Where I'm trying to come to it at.
Okay.
So you mentioned like the UV printer, and this is just something that was going through my head a bunch when you're mentioning goals and such, but you talk about a UV printer and that you realize the opportunity for the chloroplast signs and things of that nature, right? And you know elections are coming up, so you say, okay, well, how many can I sell? A lot, you know, like, well,
right?
What, you know, what is how many? What does that mean, you know? And it's challenging, you know, to figure out, like walk through that process. I think so. Maybe that's a question that it was looming on my mind with this is when if somebody does have an idea, whatever it might be, let's just go ahead and say that the printing signs is one of their ideas.
Yep.
What are some exercises that you might do
yeah,
to help build a goal? Cause you, I gather you would agree that the goal should be somewhat concrete, not I want to sell a lot of signs.
Well, and like I have very modest goals, and they're all, I can put them all on a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
Because, so for like, let's take the Coroplast signs, for example, is we did an ROI. I think you can probably make $15 or $20, mm-hmm. something like that, on one of these signs.
Okay.
So let's say it's $20. It's going to cost me $500 to lease this printer if I want to finance it.
Okay.
So maybe my first goal is I want to be at cash flow within 90 days after I get that printer.
Okay.
Which means if overall my expenses are going to be $600 a month, if I can make 20, that means I have to be selling 30 or more signs every month within 90 days.
Okay.
So that's a reasonable financial goal. And then I'm going to look out, so at the end of a year, I want to be, you know, tripling that. And I want to add two more products or market segments to it, which I'm just going to guess, you know, are going to add another 25% to the business.
So I'm not talking about
like a crystal ball or anything.
Yeah.
I'm looking for maybe goals is too lofty a word. You know,
okay.
It's reasonable, concrete assumptions based on fact.
I like that too. And you also, you've created like a step method,
you know,
which I think is an important way to look at it too, right? Because the first point of failure in making an investment would be it's costing you money, not earning you money. Right. So if you invest in a store, an online store, or UV printer, whatever it is, the first point of, you could say, failure or not doing well is that you're paying X amount of dollars per month for this, and you're only earning, you know, less, you're earning less money than you are your expenses. So your expenses are higher than the income you're bringing in, and therefore it's a loss, which you could plan to say, like in your goal, well, I would like this piece of equipment to be paying for itself by 6 months or whatever your time frame is, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, depending on the investment. And that's something that you'll hear about in like business shows or people when they talked about investing in their business and they made it big. You know, they said, well, we knew we weren't going to make any money the first year.
Well, I mean, Amazon lost money every day for a decade.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, most tech startups are just losing boatloads of money every day.
Yeah.
You know, most of the people listening to the podcast can't afford to do that. But you should understand and have a reasonable expectation that you're not going to get your digital heat effects printer and then sell $20,000 worth of t-shirts that month if you're just getting started.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to be ready for that.
Okay.
So that's the point about goals is to kind of work things out, to take a look at financially or, you know, business-wise, what it's going to look like if you do X.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What are if I do the online store, what's really my benchmark for success?
Okay.
You know, $500.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, whatever it is.
And I think that I like that now. You know, I feel more, I personally, after just thinking about it and kind of where we got to our step two here of goals, I feel more comfortable about it now thinking about it that way. And I find that that's less stressful.
Yeah.
And they would say like losing weight or like working out type of goals are similar too, right? Part of your goal might be, you know, I want to fit in my old, you know, suit that I wore, you know, when I got married or something like that. That might be somebody's goal, but that might be really far away. So you need to have some other goals between that.
Well, yeah. Maybe you fit into your college sweatshirt that was two sizes
too big. Yeah, or you could just say like, my first goal is I'm not going to eat any more candy. Right. And I mean, that's a goal, right? I mean, that's funny because you could just not do that. But maybe if we get a little bit, you know, more realistic and say, well, my first goal is that I'm going to go ahead and get myself where I'm sleeping better at night. Right. Because that's part of my health. So what am I going to do to that? I'm going to make sure that I'm going to cut out the caffeine, you know, after dinner type of stuff, you know, and I'm going to do this and that, and I'm going to work out a little bit, and then I'll be more tired. I'll sleep well. I'll wake up, you know, and then, so that's part of one of the goals towards getting towards that is building up, you're building up your foundation of things.
Yep.
So now we've got some goals. We've got a plan. We've looked at an opportunity and a plan. Everything looks good. Now we've got goals. What are, you put here, kind of comparing alternatives. This is interesting. So tell us about that.
I really just want to make sure that everyone is doing number one and two first before they compare alternatives.
Okay.
Because you want to have something actually to compare.
Okay.
If you see a digital heat effect system on Facebook and you saw the ad and you love the, you know, t-shirt printing idea, you know, the idea is not to go out right now and look at 15 other, you know, and look at DTG.
Okay.
At the same time,
mm-hmm.
you know, the idea is to work out what that t-shirt business looks like for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it a good idea? What does everybody think? What would my customers think or potential customers think if I did this? What would the goals financial be? So, okay, now that I have all this information, you know, what else could I be doing with the same time or the same money that gets me closer to my goal?
Yeah. This is something that I like, and I think this is a really good exercise as you're building out this plan for the future of your business is comparing some alternatives. So one thing that we discussed before when we were talking about this concept was you've got on your lap, you've got an opportunity to create uniforms for a big organization.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, we want you to create X many uniforms a month. And you look at that and you're like, wow, you know, like this is going to be a serious growth point for my business. This could be an opportunity for me, or maybe you want to chase that up. I'm going to change it actually. Not that it's dropped on your lap that they asked you to do it, but you decided that this is a good goal for you.
So the big decision that you're making is that you want to go into the commercial uniform business.
Yeah. You want to go into this because you see an opportunity potentially out there and you heard that there's money in it and you know, you can do it because you have embroidery machines.
Okay.
So you have to also then compare what else could I do instead of that? Is that the direction I actually want to go? How much time is that going to take? So you could say, okay, well, the investment of trying to sell and going out there and talking to these folks and going on to LinkedIn and searching for people and trying to reach these big companies. Like how much time is that going to cost me a week? All right. I'm going to spend 10 hours a week prospecting and selling. Or 20 hours a week prospecting and selling, trying to get there. What else could I do with 10 or 20 hours a week for my business? That's an alternative that I also realize is a good thing to do.
Yeah. So, that's why it's important to work on those goals first is because what's the goal behind going after those commercial clients?
Okay. Yeah.
Because nobody decides they really just want to do commercial uniform production.
Yeah.
They weren't little kids and they decided they wanted to do that. What they want to do is they think this is a big opportunity. Maybe it's that their business can make a lot more money, you know, and the goal is to increase the revenues of the business, you know, by X. And this is the time and the money it's going to take probably to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what else could meet that same goal of the more revenues for the business that I could do with that time and that money?
Yeah. Or is there something that could be even better per se?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I when we talk about something like that and we're comparing that alternative, you mentioned it wasn't your dream as a kid to make uniforms probably. But you heard that there was money out there. So you start looking at it and when you compare an alternative I would think could be one that's realistic is you could say, I've also thought about expanding into a good online store. And getting into, you know, marketing online and advertising on Facebook and Instagram and things like that and selling shirts that way. And that's another idea that I've had. What would that goal set be like? And how does it compare to this? Okay, so I said that the prospecting one, I'm going to have this many clients by this time, this much income by here. I suspect I can do this. The long term of it. And you also are looking at different perspectives of what that looks like for your business. Right? How would other people see that? And what's the future of your business going to be? And then you can compare that to the online one and what it would be like that way.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, what do you know? What, how do you want your business to go? And because can you make more money if money's the goal?
Yeah. Cause it could be that it, even if money is the goal, you decide that either hiring a salesperson or going out on the road and talking to bigger businesses in person is not what you want to do in 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
That you don't like it, you know, or you have this other idea that when your kid goes off to college in the Northeast, you're going to follow them and get a dorm room next door.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. maybe, and yes. you can't do that if you've got a local commercial uniform business
yeah.
that you're the prospector for.
Yeah. That's a good way of comparing too, you know, is when you look at the future of your business and you compare these two things. Yeah. I had done that. I'd done that in my life numerous times. You know, when I was younger, I was studying science, the sciences, you know, when I first got to go into university and I started studying sciences. And then that was probably the first time that I had that thought of what's my future going to look like and what are the alternatives?
Right.
Because I said, I don't want to be in a lab and doing math all day and just me by myself. You know, I don't want to do that, but I know that like I can make good money doing that. And I would like that. I would like to make money. So what else could I do? You know, alternatively that I would make money, but I would enjoy more, but it would also challenge the part of my brain that's analytical. And that's kind of where sales and marketing had come to the forefront.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Because I said, all right, I still get to be analytical. I still get to dive into things and I get to use my strengths of, you know, working with numbers and writing and things like that. But now I'm doing it something that would be more fulfilling.
I love that. And you notice that we're not comparing two different ways to do embroidery or two different ways to print t-shirts or two different ways to make Coroplast signs for the election season.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about two different ways to reach the goals for your business and your mm-hmm. lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, and what's going to make you happier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what are the other ways after you've gone through this? And if you do choose something else, if you find something good, like the commercial uniform production locally, or creating an online store for a higher margin online sales,
mm-hmm.
Then which are you going to enjoy either piece? Some people like would hate to get orders online. They'd hate to try to figure out Facebook ads.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't enjoy it, but it's worth looking at and going back through that. Look at what would your customers think? What would your, mm-hmm. what would Marcus Lemonis think? You yeah. know, I mean, what do the goals match? You know, would the goals be the same for this kind of thing? Where am I, you know, in 3 years, if I make this move?
Yeah. And the benefits and what are yeah. the other benefits now, besides that?
What I will say is you have to be very careful because the thing that I'm most guilty of is stopping at this stage.
Okay.
Because once you're in,
you get stuck at a crossroad path.
I mean, honestly, like Mark Veal and I, we can market any product, mm-hmm. right? We can do a podcast sure. on almost any topic. We could do websites for a living. We could mm-hmm. just do paid advertisement for a living. We yeah. could sell anything, you know, so there is a world of opportunities open. So by the time I get to the fifth or sixth or seventh one, I decide not to do anything. So
yeah.
I don't want that for you guys. I want you to go, you know, maybe three.
Yeah. And, so, and you, and you're doing this as what I think of it as you're doing it as an official part of the decision-making process, not a roadblock. Right. So you just say part of my due diligence in making this decision is that I'm going to look to the left and look to the right and compare those two as objectively as I can. Mm-hmm. And with an attempt to not have a bias because this was your first decision, right? So you want to attempt to not have that bias and then go ahead and look to the left and look to the right as part of the decision saying, no, this path is good.
Yeah.
And then being humble enough to say, if path B looks a little better, to maybe start the process over with path B and go yeah. back to number one and look at it again. And then when you get to this decision, you know, that original idea is still there. And that's a fair part of the exercise, but the goal is to move past this.
And yeah, and that's
getting stuck here. Then you're not doing it right. You were just looking for an excuse to not do it. Maybe
that's what. That's why number four is to make your decision. Right after okay. you've gone through these steps and you've compared the alternatives, you've looked at it reasonably, and you've done some math. Then you've got to take another step. Or you'll be in this situation every time you see something shiny or hear another great idea. Yeah. You'll be one of those guys that like, or women that are always talking about what they want to do either in the future or for their business now and just never do it because they were just excited for a second.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So, I like that. No, that's true. That's true. And that's why you do this stuff, I think, is because you want to get good at the next step, which is step four you have in here of making the decision.
Yeah.
You know, so all part of all this stuff is so you can actually make a decision, because some of the times what stops you is you don't do all these other things and you say, that's a great idea. And then since you don't do anything else, that's what stops you.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any other data to go on. You have anything else to think about. So talk about making the decision.
Yeah. Okay. So it's as complicated and as simple as you just said. Once you have done your kind of little mini due diligence on your main idea, and then you've taken a couple of more that you're doing your comparative analysis with, one of those is going to come out on top. Mm-hmm. One of those you've decided is either going to make you happier or more successful or some combination of both. Whatever the one or of those three are, it's time. You just have to make the decision, because like Mark said, if you don't do anything, you're gonna miss an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think everyone's done that before.
Yeah. 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 Tons of times. And chances are this business that you finally started, this t-shirt business or whatever it might be you started, finally happened because you avoided some other things, you know? So hopefully you did some of these things already to get where you are today.
Yeah.
Then I like that. One of the notes you put in here is that because you've thought this through, the decision is now a sound decision.
Right.
Right. So because you've gone through and take stepped and you compared alternatives and you've kind of set what the goals could be and what expectations could be, you can actually make the decision now with confidence, because this is now a sound decision. You can make a decision with less anxiety. Another thing you wrote, this is all credit to you here today. You're just delaying your success if you don't pull the trigger.
Yeah, we run into that all the time.
Because you've gone through all of these exercises and you've compared it to other ideas, and now you see that the success is out there for you to get, and then you don't pull the trigger. So all you're doing is delaying that. You're not allowing yourself to do it, because it, at this point in time, it should be a sound decision.
Yeah. Here's what I like about, here's a good measure that you'll know you're ready to pull the trigger is if someone asks you, why are you doing that? You have good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, why are you investing in the $55,000 UV printer to make Coroplast signs? Sounds like a crap load of money you're flushing down the toilet. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Well, here's what I did. Here's what I need to do. I've got these sales lined up. I know it's going to be $20, $25 profit per sign. All I have to do this, I'm going to be cash flowing. And in 3 years, I project that I'm going to be right here. And I compared that to these two different opportunities. This is the one that won.
Yeah. And I've got a couple other, and then in addition to all that stuff, you know, I've future planned some other ideas that this one decision is going to lead me to later on.
Yeah.
Because what I could do is I'm considering getting into personalization of sports equipment, like golf balls and baseball bats and things of that nature. I like them as a big sports fan. And I think that I would like to do that. This is going to be one to help me make that decision later on, because it's going to give me opportunity, you know? Yeah. So it becomes like multi-stage on it. And I like that.
Yeah. I like that a lot. So after you've done that, and again, like it's key. I really like the idea that you can explain your decision to somebody, especially if you, I'm going to call it, say, a husband and wife team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if one of you has a great idea and it's both of your business, or your spouse might be dragging their heels a little bit and whether or not they think you should get involved, then at least after you go through this, you'll have reasons. Imagine explaining it to your parents or to your spouse or somebody that's skeptical. Mm-hmm. Once you can do that, even in your head, then you'll be ready to pull the trigger and move on to step five, which is planning your implementation.
Okay. So this, in planning your implementation, it's kind of simple and interesting in a way, but it's because it's so simple. You just have to actually have steps to hit each little goal that you've created.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's almost without saying, that goes without saying, right? But you actually have to say that because you actually have to create these steps and they should be noted.
Yeah.
That they're specific.
Yeah. So, and this is that, you know, like in the title of the podcast, this is that starting with your success and working backwards. Mm-hmm. It's that one of the goals that you developed was to increase your revenues by 50% with the purchase mm-hmm. of this digital heat FX or UV printer for your business. And when you were doing your initial analysis, you thought you could do that within the first year. Mm-hmm. Okay, write down that number. What is that number? And then work backwards. How many pieces do I have to sell at what kind of a margin? And then what do I have to do to sell that many? Mm-hmm. You know, how many people do I have to talk to or ads? And that's kind of the steps that we're talking about is you have, even if it's the 90-day goal of just cash flowing, you know, you still got to work backwards and say, okay, how am I going to do that? Specifically, not I'm just going to call all my customers or I'm going to send an email. It's, you know, you've got to take each step one at a time.
Yeah. And I think that when we're talking about implementing that type of things and that working backwards idea, that's a great time where you can just, you know, take out a piece of paper or something like that and start writing and guessing some things making some assumptions. And because it helps to put you in the right direction. So when you mentioned there, you know, my goal is going to be, I need to cash flow $1,000 or income $1,000 a month so I can cash flow.
Yeah.
Right. That's like goal one.
Right.
That means I need to sell 60 signs or whatever it's going to be. You know, those UV numbers better than me, but let's just say it's 60. I don't know. I need to sell 60 signs. Okay. Well, from what I'm thinking out there, when I'm looking at businesses, because I've done a little bit of research, I'm seeing that these businesses out there generally have two or three or four signs. Okay. So now that's about 20 businesses I need to sell to. All right. So now I'm going backwards. Okay. I need to sell to 20 businesses in 90 days to be able to get that. That means that I need to sell 7 businesses a month.
Yep.
And okay, if I'm going to, which means as far as sales calls going to go, if I think I'm going to be able to close, you know, one out of every 20 people, 20 times 7, you know, things like that. So you can work all the way backwards like that. And then you could say, okay, well, here it is. I need to reach this many people. I need to try to sell to this many people. Here's how I can reach those people through email or through local advertising or online ads, whatever it might be. And then you also have other goals that are in the future, right? I'd like to triple that number in the next over 6 months. Well, part of that plan might be search engine optimization type of things. So now you're writing articles. You know, those articles are not part of the first 90-day goal because that doesn't happen that quick.
Right.
That's part of the 6 month or the 1 year goal.
Right. But you might still want to write them in that first 90 days.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so it's like thinking of that whole thing in the long run, in the long and short is important. And that's why I think you kind of like that working backwards concept is I want to get that right. Half of it I think is going to be from SEO. All right. Well, that means I need to start doing that now because you don't want to wait till the end. You don't want to wait till that 90 days and then start, oh, now I need to work on my SEO stuff. Well,
yeah.
I probably should have done some of that earlier.
Yeah, I like that. I like the, you know, you've got 8 things down here and it's, you have to take specific steps and there should be specific markers to take you to the next one. But I really like the develop a basic marketing plan. And by the way, all this is significantly easier if you've listened to and followed our Know Your Numbers podcast.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So if you're an existing business and you don't know what your profits are and what your stuff costs you and what you should sell it for and what your advertising costs and all that stuff, go listen to that podcast and do all those things. And all of this will just be a natural extension of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, for example, I would do when I say develop a basic marketing plan in the custom t-shirt course on customapparelstartups.com. One of the things that we've done is provided like a simple marketing plan template. And I may be able to put it down here. It's just a PDF. It's from a book on a simple marketing plan.
Okay.
A one-page marketing plan.
Yeah, I know you're talking about now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I would use that. Even if it's only a new product and not your whole business, it will give you a lot of these steps and help you work this stuff out.
Yeah. Yeah. And, okay. And this is true of any type of big decision, right? Because we've used a couple specific examples like that. But another example might be you really want to get into online, just get into online marketing, right?
Yeah.
So we could kind of just diving into this as a quick example. So you want to get into online marketing. Well, why? That's not really what you want to do. You didn't grow up wanting to do that. You want to do that because you were trying to double your sales. And one of the ways you could do it is through digital marketing. So how do you find out you're doing it through digital marketing? And well, one of the ways is you consistently can run ads and replicate good ads that are relevant for the time they continue, right? Because digitally, you don't just make one ad and it lasts forever. It changes over time.
Yep.
So, how do I know what a good ad is? You know, just because I'm testing ads, you know? So, how do I, you know, before I test ads, I have to actually launch some ads. Before I launch ads, I have to write things. I have to have a written content and I have to have a place for the ad to go. Whether it's phone call or click or whatever, an article to go to. And so these are all steps. So then now that I've gone through that, you know, first I would develop a digital marketing plan of what I want to do, the goals.
Yep.
Then I would set up my website and my accounts and all that information. Then I would write my articles or my ads or my emails, all that stuff. I would write that stuff out, figure out what artwork I'm going to include, publish some, track results, test them out.
Yep.
And then now you have some that are successful and then you can replicate them.
So this is, and that's perfectly true. I mean, literally. So this is why we're doing this now before we make the big move, because you may get to like your goals and everything like that. And you get down to planning your implementation after you make that decision. And this may be a sticker for you. You may not, you may think it's all reasonable, but you know, you may decide that I don't know how I'm going to get that message out that will get me to these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It may be just another level of research. You may decide that you want to go online and that you want to do digital advertising and that this is how you want to do it, but you don't want to do any of those things yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So now your plan is to, find out how much it is to hire somebody to do those things for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it may be that, my dream is to have an online store that I never touch, have somebody that does great ads for me, you know, that I want to accomplish all these things. And it may be that now your cash flow number moves because you're paying somebody $500 a month, you know, or $1,500 a month to do all this marketing for your business. But that changes your goals and your ROI in the following ways. So that's why like each one of these steps can change everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And that's what's great about it is doing things like this, like in the last step, you know, it makes for a sound decision, you know, and it makes for a really good plan and you're most likely to succeed. And talking about, you know, health and fitness before, one of my friends is really into it, you know, and he writes stuff and different things like that and does videos. But one of the things he talks about is like, you're not going to get anywhere with any of this stuff statistically if you're not making some like real decisions on what you're going to do. Cause he said, this is what happens. He's like all the time. He's like, somebody says, I want to lose some weight. I want to get in better health. I'm going to go to yoga 3 times a week. And that's what I'm going to do. Well, why'd you choose yoga? Why'd you choose 3 times a week? Just because that was a decision you made. He said, what is the long-term goal with your body and with your weight? What's your, you know, are you the type of person that's normally very skinny, but you're just kind of what he says, like, you know, skinny fat, you know, you're out of shape, but you look skinny. Or are you the type of person that gains weight if you look at a muffin, you know? Right. And he said, these are two different, completely different goals that I would tell for people. So all of this reminds me a lot of that type of conversation, because he would say, you don't just get up and get on a treadmill. You don't just get up and just say, and just go buy a t-shirt printer and just boom, you know, profit. Right. You do a lot of these things and they will more than likely make you successful. It doesn't mean that somebody doesn't just buy a t-shirt printer and then make money.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like,
we know that's true.
We know that's true. And that's true of you can just say, I'm just going to start doing ads. I'm not going to go through a whole thing. I'm going to put some up, see what sticks. And that does work for a smaller percentage of people than the people who do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing. So if it works for, all those examples from the fitness to the ads to buying a printer, if all of that works well for 20% of people, I'm just making up numbers here, the people who do this, it's going to work well for 40% of those people or 60% of those people.
Yeah, I agree.
Double, triple, quadruple numbers.
And that's why this whole process works together. Each step works together, mm-hmm. because when you get to your implementation stage, you know, that may include not just all of these things that I'm looking at here is, you know, how are you going to advertise it? How are you going to market it? It's also, how are you going to deliver it?
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So let's say that you decide to, you know, get into the huge sign business and you buy a large format printer, but you don't consider what it's going to cost to ship these signs all over the country. And you don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you are going to add, you're going to do the retail space, but you forgot to allow for the electricity bill. You didn't think about what happens if they raise the rent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for an online store, who's going to take the photos of the products to put them on the website? You know, these implementation steps, I mean, some of them you're not going to know in advance. I don't expect that you'll pick the color of the pens you're going to buy for your office in advance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But you know, you should have these broad strokes. There shouldn't be any big surprises. You know, once you implement your plan here, once you create your implementation plan, it says, okay, here's where I want to get to. The first thing, if it's a piece of equipment, the first thing I'm going to do is make sure that my website is set up and that I want to sell online, that I've got all that going, and that by the time the printer gets here, I have time to go through training, I can take product photos, and I can put them on the website, and then I can start my advertising.
Yes. If you have none of that plan done and nothing set up for implementation, then everything is a surprise.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize I had to create the graphics myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we've heard that. Yeah. But when everything is a surprise, then it becomes really overwhelming. It makes you more likely to want to quit, more likely to find excuses to give up, and more stress, you know, all of those things. So, so when you're doing all of this stuff, you're always going to have surprises, and there are decisions that you don't have to make right away. You can make that decision in 6 months, but it's a lot more comfortable. And I think all of it makes you a lot more confident. Man, and confidence is the key to success.
You know what it does is it takes the, it makes the decisions less emotional. The farther you go into the process,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
The farther you get away from, I've always wanted to do embroidered name tags for uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're avoiding you're tempering the excitement with a plan. So you still maintain it, but by the time you get through the implementation plan, then you're already experiencing the realism of being in your own business or of adding this people equipment or of starting this particular project. You know, it's not a, this would be cool decision.
Yeah.
It's not buying the Corvette because it's cool. And then realizing the insurance is $1 billion a month.
Yeah.
You know, it's going
through. Is that why you got rid of your vet?
Now, once you've got that implementation plan in place, and even if it's stuff on a legal pad, right? then you're still not finished. Mm-hmm. Because just like buying a car or doing anything, you're picking an exercise routine. Mm-hmm. You have to check periodically to make sure it's working the way it should.
Yes.
And that you're sticking to the plan that you said you would.
And we talked about this before, and the classic kind of example is is having a compass is really important if you are trekking through the woods, because you should check it frequently, even if you're on a path, even if you're on a trail, because there are forks to that trail that you might not realize are decisions, because you're not necessarily paying attention to your compass. It feels like, oh, I go this way or this way, but they're both forward.
Right.
Right. And that's where I want to go to get to the end. Or if you would have checked your compass, you would have realized that the one going this way is a little bit closer towards north.
Right.
And that one's, or whatever it might be. So yep. You frequently check this stuff, because if you don't, then you can end up so far away from your goal, headed towards a different goal, that you either can't turn back, or now turning back becomes a headache,
yeah,
and stress, and then again, those are reasons why people give up and fail.
Yeah. So it's really, is it working? Is your plan and is the equipment or the decision or the sales process or the website, is it working the way it should? And by that, I mean, is it working according to all of the numbers and all the ideas and plans that you had in place?
Yeah. And right? if it's not, then that now, because you're checking frequently and regularly, whatever that means, then you can make and move things around. So you may find that the goals that you set were too low.
Yeah.
Right. That's one direction. That's, that means these goals are way too low because it's too easy. If you stick with that, fine. You could just call yourself successful.
Yeah.
And be the end, but you're missing out on a lot more because you should be pushing a little harder or higher.
Yeah, move the goalpost.
Move the goalpost. And or on the other side, of course, the opposite way too, right? I'm not even getting close to my goals. Are they too big? Why are they too big?
You know,
or maybe I'm just not doing something right.
Yeah. I mean, let's take a look at that 90-day cash flow scenario, which is pretty reasonable for whatever piece of technology that you're adding to your business, for example. Mm-hmm. If you are not reaching your goal of cash flow in 90 days with your, $50,000 UV printer, then first of all, it's not an emotional situation because you did math.
Yeah.
It was a process to get here. It's not like, oh, I thought this was going to be awesome and it sucks.
Yeah.
No, I thought these were going to be the numbers. And I can see, like, in the second month, I didn't reach those seven businesses that Mark Vila did the math for that I had to this month. What can I do to change that?
Yeah.
Do I need to, maybe I need to spend a little bit more in advertising right now? Do I need to send out extra emails? Do I need to talk to more customers? Maybe it took you talking to 20 customers a sale instead of 10. Mm-hmm. So you're checking these numbers so you don't wake up and say, I started this freaking website 6 months ago and I'm still losing money. I have no idea why.
Yeah. Because you know some reasons why. And then it's also okay to move those things. So you were going to plan on cash flow in 90 days and you start looking at it and you say, I'm really objectively looking at everything. And you know what, for what I'm doing and the niche I'm working in and where I'm trying to go, 90 days was a little too quick. If I move it to 120, it's a new goal. That is achievable, and I'm still maintaining all the other things because maybe you're putting in 40 hours a week and that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
You could put in 80.
Right.
But maybe you don't want to for whatever reason that might be, it just lets you, and I think everything about it's about you're making sound decisions, which is one of the best things you wrote in here. All those decisions are sound. So you say, I think if you say, well, I'm moving it from 90 days to 120. Why? Yeah. Here's all the reasons.
Yeah. And I like that because what it shows is that you didn't fail.
Yeah.
Right? You haven't failed. You may have gotten some of the assumptions wrong.
Yeah.
Or you may have been naive in thinking that when you called the Democratic Party of Philadelphia, that they would buy signs from you 100%. You know, or, you know, there may be a lot of assumptions that you're making on the road that just weren't right. Mark and I do it all the time.
Yeah, I was going to
we'll
say.
Launch a Facebook campaign for, Coleman and Company will bring in a new product that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Not that doesn't work.
Yeah. But you think you would do better than you did.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is you're going to 100% have to move and change things around. Always, you know, like things never go exactly to the plan. Mm-hmm. But you have a plan, so you feel confident about it. You're making good decisions all the time. And some of those decisions are, I won't even say some of them were bad. Some of them just didn't go as planned.
Yeah.
But it was still a good decision because you did a lot of things to choose that. And I think that that's one of the things that people will knock themselves and say, I really made a bad decision doing that. And I say, well, how'd you make the decision? I just thought it'd be cool. Okay. Maybe that was bad, you know, I thought it was cool. And this and this and that.
Right. Yeah. And we're not immune to that. Even, you know, cold Essie,
of course,
Not every product launch that we do is super successful. So, you know, let's say that we think that our customers are going to be interested in this next piece of technology, because if you're already doing t-shirt printing and embroidery, this might be the next step, you know? So let's bring this on and we'll show it to some people and see if they like it. And then we'll set a price and see how that, and you know, we have goals set of how much money we want to make and how much we want to sell. And sometimes we do that and we were wrong.
Yeah. Or sometimes you get the market wrong too.
You may find that none of your customers actually buy those Coroplast signs from you.
Yeah. Well, and here's the tricky part too, is you might ask people, would you be interested in buying these arm warmers, you know, or some product? And people say, yeah, I would buy that.
Right.
And then, but when it actually comes to buying it, they don't do it. And that's like a really interesting thing, you know, that happens with people too, is people are interested in doing things, or they like the idea of doing things, but they don't actually want to do them. Yeah. So you might even have done a lot of research and talked to a lot of customers and things like that, and you find out it's different. But you said it, that it's not failing. I don't think it's a bad decision. I don't think it's failing when you're doing all of this type of stuff, because all it is just another part of the path.
You know, I love to see in the CAS group and in some other places that I frequent for marketing, I love to see people say, you know, things like, hey, I've got, you know, this is my product. This is my website. I sell this kind of apparel. Mm-hmm. I'm not selling as much as this happened the other day. You know, I've got traffic to the site. I'm just not selling as many as I thought I would. Mm-hmm. You know, would you guys take a look and let me know if you have any suggestions or you can help me figure out why? So what I like about that is it's very objective.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, I put my heart and my soul into creating these amazing custom designs that I thought everybody would love, and now I'm failing because nobody does.
Yeah.
It's here's this, like, I went through this process and everybody loved these shirts and I put them online. You know, what is it? And people came back with some great changes that you can make, which is kind of this check as you go through the implementation.
Yeah.
This person saw that those garments weren't selling, even though they thought they were doing anything right. So they went to a third party and say, okay, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah. And there's so many things, right, that you could do wrong. That
it could be the page layout on the page that you sell your product. The buy button was too small.
Yeah. People couldn't find it. They thought it was out of stock. You know, it was too, they had to scroll too far to get to it on mobile. So you're looking at it on desktop the whole time and they start scrolling and they're like, oh, this is an article about a t-shirt. And then they bail out. Or maybe this, the checkout process wasn't easy enough. Or when you went to go check out, the page loaded all weird and someone on mobile and they're like, I'm not going to put my credit card into that.
Or it has nothing to do with the website. And it's just the Facebook ads that you did got to the wrong audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they were people that just aren't really interested in what you're selling.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they're the type of people who like looking at what you're selling, but not the type of people who like buying.
So all those things All those things are out there. You know, I mean, it's going through the process, you know, to kind of sum things up a little bit, right? Is going through this process should help you make a good decision and, but still like give you the permission to be wrong and to change things as time goes by.
Yeah. Well, right? I think it's great then, Mark. I think we've gone through how you and I make big decisions and how not just you, but a lot of other people, you know, make big decisions out there and how a lot of successful companies make big decisions. And these are all of this stuff. How much time, if you had an idea to say, you know, you wanted to go ahead and just start doing digital marketing for t-shirts, right? For your t-shirt store. How long do you think, how much time would you spend doing this?
You mean, going through this process?
Yeah. Going through this process till you feel not the ongoing part.
Cause yeah, it's
obviously forever, but up to the portion where you push the button.
I don't know. It depends on a lot of factors, like how comfortable you are in this arena anyway.
Okay.
So
okay.
What I would do is I would go through it until you feel comfortable with what's happening.
Okay. So that's good. So maybe another way to answer that would be if it's making an ad about selling t-shirts to online and you've never done online ads and you've never sold t-shirts and you've never worked within this niche, you've got this might be days.
A week.
You know, if you know all about t-shirt advertising and you know, and you're just trying to say, hey, you know what? I wonder if I should start doing fishing shirts too.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you know about fishing.
Yeah.
Then
you know about shirts.
You know about shirts, you know about online ads. Now you're just trying to add another one. This could be something you could go through this exercise in a morning.
Yeah.
You know, over breakfast with your business partner.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. Well, I think that's a wrap then.
Yep.
We'll put
a couple links to the one or two podcasts that we mentioned maybe in the description.
Okay.
For the Know Your Numbers, because I think that's really important. And if I can dig up that Simple Plan marketing book, I'll make sure that that's in there too, because it is a good one.
Well, yeah. I have a piece of homework then.
Okay.
That's I think is a cool thing to do is if you have a floating idea in your business that has existed on and off for a period of time, just start taking a little bit of time this week to look at some of these things with that idea.
Yeah.
Take that idea through the exercise a little bit and see if the decision that you've made to not do it up until today was a sound decision. And if it wasn't, then you can make a move.
Yeah. I like that. And you probably didn't decide not to do it. You probably just
stopped.
Didn't do it.
We just woke up and did something else that day and then never started again. Speaking of which, I should go finish those cabinets in my garage.
At that, I will say this has been Mark Stevenson from Cold Essie.
This is Mark Vila.
And you guys have a great, well-planned business.